Welcome, everyone. I'm Mike Siggers from Simplenomics.com, and I'm talking to Rich Brooks of Flight New Media, the people who say, you don't need a website, you need a web strategy. And nowhere could that be more important, in my opinion, than in the world of business blogging. Let's say welcome to the man that stands behind that tagline, Rich Brooks. You're now on the hot seat.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you inviting me down here.
Glad to do it. There's a dearth of information about business blogging. There's people out there that talk about it, but most of them seem to me like they're not living it. And since you obviously are in business and obviously have a blog, you're living
right.
It. And there's nothing better than someone that's there in the trenches. So let's start out by telling everybody the who's, what's, and what's, whys, and where's, and all that. How do you came to the world of web design, marketing, and strategy, and how you do it all the way from that state up north called Maine?
All right. Well, let's see. It started back around nearly 11 years ago, which I think is like 1.6 million in internet years. And I just got fed up of reading articles in the newspaper about the internet and the fact that reporters knew more about me than computers. So I went out, I bought a computer, I sat down, and I just started teaching myself stuff. Figured I'd do that for a year or two until designers either learned how to program or programmers learned how to design. And 11 years later, here I am. I'm still working. These days, I mostly just make coffee for the talented people in the office. It seems like the only thing I have left to do in the office is make coffee and blog. But I'm enjoying it. We've got a good team, and we like doing design. And the internet marketing part of it came around because people came to me and they said, how do I raise myself higher in Alta Vista, which shows you how long ago I started, or how do I get more visibility in Yahoo's directory? And then it was questions about Google, and so we got into search engine optimization, and then people wanted to start sending out email newsletters, and we showed them how to do that, and more recently it was blogging. And once I discovered blogging, I realized what a powerful tool it was and how it integrated a lot of the other internet marketing things we had been doing into one solid little package.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be anything that's better right now. I'm sure something will come along in the next 5 or 10 years, but there doesn't seem to be anything better that a business can do than blog, because one of the first things that when I'm consulting with somebody that I ask them is, would better search engine rankings mean anything to your business?
That's a great question.
Yeah, if they say no, it's easy to pick up, put everything back in your briefcase and walk out and say, next.
Exactly.
And if they say yes, you've got something for us. So when we start talking about those search engine rankings and we talk about blogging, tell me, let's pretend I'm company XYZ, and I've got a website. I'm the CEO. I don't know anything about it, but I do know we've got a website, and I know how to quote the URL, which they tell me that's what that is. Why do I need a business blog?
Well, there's a lot of benefits to having a business blog, and a lot of people say, well, I already have a website, why do I also need a business blog? And I don't think it's either one or the other that you have. There's a lot of benefits to having a website. I see a website as kind of your portfolio or your perfect self. This is how you'd like the world to view you. A blog is more about an ongoing conversation that you're having with people, and sometimes it's warts and all. So it's a lot more engaging for people to read. And, people always tell me, oh, I'm going to put fresh content up on my website so people keep coming back. And I tell them, unless you're CNN, people just don't come back to websites. But on a blog, on the other hand, has a lot of benefits. People have started to be trained that a blog is something that gets updated frequently. There's plenty of new good information, and there's a reason to either come back to it or subscribe to the feed or sign up for the email version of it so it can be delivered via email. And some of the benefits I've gotten out of blogging is, first of all, like you just said, search engine visibility. A lot of people don't understand that search engines are not ranking your website well or poorly. They're ranking each individual page well, higher or lower. And so with a blog, every time you create a new blog post, you're creating a new web page, and a new web page that can be indexed by the search engines that people can visit and find, and there's a lot of benefit to that. Plus, a blog has a lot of benefits in terms of establishing your credibility or your expertise. I blog about small business issues. I blog about internet scams. I blog about internet marketing, web marketing. When people go to Google and they do a search, they start reading our blog. And once they've read the blog, many times they come over to our website. And when I look at the Google Analytics report on our traffic to our website, I see that about 11% on average of our traffic is coming through our blog. And that traffic from our blog converts at the highest percentage of any other traffic. So Google sends me a lot more traffic to my website than my blog does, but the blog warms up that traffic. They're much more likely to fill out my contact form or sign up for my email newsletter.
You know, I think you're the second person that I've heard say that, because I talk to myself a lot, but people don't realize that blogs are not really sales pages. They're comfort makers. They make people feel more comfortable about the sales page. And a lot of people think, oh, I'll just write something and say, buy this or buy that. And that's not what a blog is for, is it?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, certainly, you know, it's a business blog, so there's going to be some self-promotional stuff. But like with any really good marketing, it's all about your audience. It's not really about you. In fact, years ago, before my wife came to work for Flight, she worked in a company that had this very robust data tracking system for manufacturers. It was out on the floor. And she's like, why would we ever have a blog? Who would ever want to read about our software? And what would we have to say about our software, you know, week in and week out that they don't already know? And I said, well, to be honest, I would never read a blog if I was one of your clients if that's all that was in there. But if I were you, I would be, if all your clients are manufacturers, I would be creating a manufacturing blog. And I would be blogging about my customers' industry and anything that happened in the news that affected my industry, laws being passed, you know, taxes, whatever it was, I would become the go-to source for manufacturers, where everybody would come, and every time they came and they saw what a great resource they were, they would think of my company. So there's a lot of different ways of creating a blog, too. So that could be another benefit, too. It's not about saying, oh, my software or my services or my product is so excellent. It's about talking about the kind of problems and issues and solutions that your customers or your audience is interested in. And that's how you get them to your blog, and that's how you win them over.
You mentioned go-to guy, which was a perfect phrase for it, but in my industry, the individual salesman is the go-to guy. But I can't be everywhere, every day, for everybody, and that blog can. So what you're saying basically is that blog is and can become your number one salesman.
Absolutely, and I think it goes hand in hand with a website and with the rest of your internet marketing. We often talk about a holistic web or holistic web marketing, which is just the idea that you want to integrate all of your different marketing elements, especially on the web, blogs, search engines, email marketing, and a whole bunch of other things. Social media is very popular these days, but all of those pieces fit together to warm up more leads, deliver them to your website where you can convert them. And you don't actually need a website to convert them. I mean, we have a website. We're a web design company. But we've developed blogs for clients who have no other website. They just have the blog. And, for example, we did a blog a few months ago for a gentleman who wanted to promote an ebook. And he was a title professional, these guys who, you know, handle the titles during real estate transactions. And he was writing an ebook, or he had written an ebook, on how title professionals can better market themselves and differentiate themselves in the marketplace. And I talked to him the other day, and he told me, and this sounds like one of those crazy, you know, I sold so many. But he actually said, I sold 10 times more than I had planned on. But not only that, he had been trying to get some articles published in one of their trade magazines for a couple of years and not really gotten any response at all. And suddenly, out of the blue, they started calling him and asking if he wanted to submit some articles to this trade magazine. And he started getting called to do some keynote presentations in the industry as well. These were paying gigs that he had never expected to get or never gone after. And suddenly, he was sought after because he's obviously writing in an important niche writing in a niche that was underserved, and he's blogging on a regular basis, and he was, we can talk about this as well, he was really becoming part of the blogosphere. And he and I worked on this, about being part of that network and finding like-minded bloggers and leaving comments and trackbacks on other blogs and really engaging other people. And that type of networking is very important to the success of a business blog.
Basically, that networking wouldn't have existed were it not for the blog, because he could attend networking events in his local area, but he can't network with people that are 7, 8, 10 states away, 2 time zones away, or anything like that. So his circle of influence is exponentially larger now.
Right, and he's now expanded into a whole new field, which is basically he used to just do one thing. He had a title agency. But now he's teaching title agents to do a better job, to do a better job marketing, and now he all of a sudden has this second stream of income because of this blog has been very successful for him, and the ebook has sold a lot of copies, and now he's getting more writing, and his entire visibility has gone up because of this.
Well, listening to that case study, it's obvious that at most, if not all businesses, need to start blogging. So tell me, how does a business get started blogging?
That's a great question. And some people are just naturals at it. They can just, you know, you set up a blog for them and they just start writing. But what I generally recommend for most people is you start by reading. You can do this on your own. You know, we help people with this, but really it's not rocket science. There's a website out there called Technorati, which is a great place to start. And Technorati is kind of like Google for new media. Blogs, podcasts, YouTube, Flickr, all those sort of new media, social media, all end up being searched by Technorati, and that's a great place to start. You can find a lot of blogs in or around your niche by going to Technorati. So, you know, for example, if you are going to write a blog about, you sell pet products, you know, you can go and find people who are blogging about dogs and cats and extreme pets, and you can find all these different blogs and start reading and get an idea of what they're saying and what's being said in the marketplace. And even if you don't have a blog yet, maybe you just still have a website, you can start to participate. Read these blogs. Find the influential bloggers in your niche. Taking a step back, at Technorati, they'll actually give you, they'll allow you to sort in a certain niche by the authority. So you could say, let's say you're targeting human resource professionals. So you go do a search on human resources or HR at Technorati, and then as they show you all the blogs, you can sort by authority. So immediately find the blogs that have the most authority, according to Technorati, which usually translates into a lot more readers and a lot more influence. Start reading those blogs, and if you have something intelligent to say, you can go ahead and leave a comment. And that comment then can link to your website or your blog if you already have the blog going, and that can help attract some interest. So even if you don't have a blog, you can take advantage of the blogosphere by reading related blogs, commenting on them. If you have something intelligent to say, people will follow your link back to your website or to your blog. So start by reading, then follow up by commenting, and finally, it's time to really just jump in with both feet. You want to set up a blog, I actually wrote an article a while back called The 11 Biggest Mistakes Small Business Bloggers Make, based on my first 6 months of blogging, where I made a lot more than 11 mistakes. But one of the things that people often do is they jump into the blogosphere and they just start writing, and they don't have a good domain name, and they don't have brand their blogs, or they don't have a custom design. And one of the things I recommend, the first thing you do is you get your own domain name. I think it just looks much more professional. Plus, if you ever decide to leave your blogging platform, the software that runs your blog, to move to another type of blogging software, if you don't have your own blog domain name, you're going to lose all of your incoming links and incoming traffic. For example, when I first started, I had a blog at TypePad. And by default, TypePad gives you a name like flight.blogs.com. They own the blogs.com domain. And for a few months, I just kept that domain. And then I realized, why am I advertising TypePad's services? Why am I not advertising my own? So I went out and I bought flightblog.com. And for anybody listening, that's F-L-Y-T-E. We spell it in the old English sort of way, flightblog.com. And if I ever wanted to move off of TypePad, and I do love TypePad, but if I ever needed to or wanted to move, I can now move my entire blog, and all of those people who have linked to me because they linked to FlightBlog, all those incoming links I get to keep when I move from place to place. So I recommend everybody start by getting your own blog domain name. And sometimes it could just be your company name or your regular URL with the word blog tacked on, or you could come up with something else that maybe is more clever or more keyword rich. And then the other thing is, you want to if you do have some other marketing material, especially a website, you want to make sure that the design is complementary. You don't want people going from your blog to your website or vice versa and wondering, is this even the same company? And you can certainly, you know, if you don't have a designer on staff, if you're really like trying to keep your costs down, you can usually at least customize one of the TypePad or WordPress or whatever platform you're using. There, you can tailor their templates to your needs. But I do strongly recommend that once you do have the money, that you hire somebody, or if you're a designer, you can do it yourself, to really customize look and feel so there's as little of a juxtaposition between your website and your blog, and try and just make that a seamless transition when people go from one to the other.
You mentioned how they should get started there. What about for the people that say, yeah, but there's already 100 blogs in my niche? And you mentioned there, and I'll let you finish it after I started, but isn't this just as good a time to start as it was a year ago, because now that person can read those 100 top blogs in their niche and see where the low-hanging fruit is still laying around and what's not being served, and can't they still use that to maximize their growth in that niche even quicker?
That's certainly true. I mean, people are more likely to be reading blogs today than they were a year or two ago. And sometimes you're in a competitive niche. I mean, if you're in travel, that's going to be a competitive niche. There's already a lot of food blogs out there. Obviously, you know, what makes your blog better is if you do have a unique voice or you do have a unique perspective on things. And you should approach it and try and have a way of coming at it from a slightly different perspective or doing something a little bit different and adding just a little bit of pizzazz to it if possible. But that's going to be true even in the real world. If there's already 100 bloggers in your niche, chances are there's at least 1,000 companies in your niche too, and you're succeeding there, so why wouldn't you also be able to succeed in the blogosphere?
Yeah. Now that we've got them started and we can make sure that they have a strategy and not just a blog, how often should they blog?
There's no magic number. I tell people, I have like a blogging regimen for new bloggers. And I tell new bloggers that you really want to try and put up 3 blogs a week for the first few months. Because it's really, you know, it's like, you know, the old saw about a plane taking off, is that they burn about 50% of their fuel just getting off the ground. And I think that's true with the blogs. You need to put in a lot of time and you need to show people that you're serious about the blog. You know, one of the mistakes that a lot of people do is they set up a blog and they do the Hello World post and then they alert the media. And the media doesn't care anymore. It's not that they don't care about a blog. It's that, you know, there's millions of blogs started every day, but there's millions of blogs abandoned every day too. So what you want to do is you want to just start blogging and do it, like I usually say, 2 or 3 times a week. And they don't have to be long. They can be short. They can be a variety of different types of posts. And the other thing you should probably do is budget some time for maybe posting a comment on 2 or 3 other blogs a week, 2 at the beginning. The more you do that kind of stuff, the faster you're going to speed up the process of connecting with other bloggers, getting links from other blogs, and making a name for yourself in the blogosphere.
Sounds like pretty good advice. Now,
right.
Now
there does seem to, you know, one of the things I've noticed from some of the bloggers who I really respect these days is a movement away from more frequent blogging to less blogging but more thoughtful blogging, which, of course, always seems like that's the next way. That's the next phase in any kind of development. My friend who does a lot of collecting says whenever you move into a new type of collection, whether it's Frank Lloyd Wright books or comic books, or stamps, at first you buy everything, and then you start selling off everything but the best stuff. So maybe that's also the nature of the blog. When you first start, you need to get as much stuff out there as possible. Every new page is another opportunity for you to rank well at the search engines. But over time, you may be able to take a step back. Other people may be, you know, commenting more on your blog, and you can really start to develop a rhythm that's much more effective for you.
That's a great analogy. Okay, we've got them started, and now they're posting 2 times a week. How do they get people to visit their blog?
I like bribery, cold, hard cash. But unfortunately, it gets very expensive very quickly. So there's a few things that your blog, you know, this is one of the reasons I love blogging. Your blog does a lot of the work for you. Right out of the gate, your blog is going to ping certain news aggregators. And for those people who are listening who aren't as geeky as I am, pinging is like when one computer says to another computer, "Are you there?" And the other computer responds, if they are there. Pinging in the blog is there are websites out there called news aggregators. Technorati's a popular example of one. Their business is to know when blogs are updated. So you can send out a ping either automatically through your blog, or you can go to a service like Pingoat, P-I-N-G-O-A-T.com, and they'll paying a bunch of different services for you all at once. But that's one important thing that your blog does, is let these services know automatically that you've updated your blog. Another thing that they do automatically is they provide what's called an RSS feed. Every time you update your blog, you also update this news feed that people can subscribe to. Sometimes they can subscribe to it via email. Other times they subscribe to it through a personalized page like a Google page or a Yahoo page. And other times they may use a program called a news reader, like NetNewsReader or bloglines.com. These are all ways that people can subscribe to multiple blogs and be able to read the blogs without actually having to go to every single blog they like every day and see if they've been updated. So those are the kind of things that happen automatically. What your responsibility is as a business blogger is you want to get listed in blog directories. Some of these are free. Some of them cost money. But those hard-coded incoming links to your blog help you with your search engine visibility. You also want to, we talked about comments, and similar to comments is something called trackbacks. But what you want to do is be participating in other people's blogs and leaving comments, and those comments, even though they don't carry any search engine juice anymore, if you leave those intelligent comments and trackbacks on other people's blogs, people will follow you back to your own blog. You also want to do what's called tagging, and that's kind of a Web 2.0 way of organizing the web. And so for every post or for every image that you put up or every video you put to YouTube, you can tag it with certain keyword phrases. And that's another way that search engines can pick you up as well. Speaking of search engines, you know, we talked about the benefits that blogging gives for search engines. The other thing is you want, even though right out of the box most blogging platforms are great for search engines, you can do more to help them out. And one of the things you can do is write keyword-rich titles for your blog posts. And when I say keyword-rich, I mean the words that people might use to find your services on the web. So you need to know what those keywords are. And, you know, part of that is just a gut check. You know what your customers are looking for. But you can also run keyword analyses. And so knowing what those words are and putting them in the titles of each post, that will help you get found at the search engines, which drive a lot of traffic. More than half of my traffic to my blog comes through people using Google. They go to Google, they put in a question, and my blog has the answer. And so Google returns one of my blog pages as a result. That obviously drives a lot of traffic. I also use keyword-rich category names. Categories are something that you use in your blog to organize the information. On my blog, I have categories like search engine optimization, email marketing, analytics, entrepreneur, all those sort of categories. So whenever I have a post, I put the post in the appropriate categories. You know, on somebody else's blog, it may be something like organic lawn care or whatever the themes or ongoing topics of your blog are. Those are your categories. Don't use default categories. Come up with keyword-rich categories. That will definitely make a big difference on your search engine visibility. What else can you do? Well, you can link from your website. You know, obviously your website should have links to your blog, especially if you've already got a website, so you've already got some search engine visibility built up with your website. By sending the search engines over to your blog, they can see that that's updated frequently. They'll start visiting your blog automatically. Also, when you send out your emails, chances are you have an email signature already in all your emails. Why, you know, you may already have your website address in your email signature. You should just add your blog link as your blog URL to that email signature as well. And these days with social media, you know, maybe if you have a Facebook page, then you make sure that your blog's listed on your Facebook page. If you have a LinkedIn profile, you make sure it's on the LinkedIn profile. If you happen to use Twitter, then you sometimes might create a link to a specific blog post and then put it up at Twitter. So there's a lot of different ways that you can get the word out about your blog.
You mentioned linking a couple times there. I think most everybody knows what links are, but how do you get other people, other bloggers, to link to your blog?
Right, and since I spent all my money on just trying to get people to visit my website, paying them to link to me is probably out of the question. Well, this is what everybody says, but it is true. Create content worth linking to. No matter what tricks or advice you follow, if you don't have good quality content at your blog, no one's going to link to you. because there's a benefit of linking to something that's important in that it gives you a lot of validity as a blogger. So people are not necessarily going to link to you if you don't have something good. First off is you create quality content. But there are certain posts that seem to get more links to them. Top 10 lists. You know, we're always so busy. So if you can take something and summarize it into 10 points, well, I don't have time to learn everything I need to know about, you know, saving for my child's education or how to change my car's oil or whatever it might be. But if you can give me 5 or 10 or 15 points, well, now I have the time to read it. And so bloggers are more likely to link to things like that, top 10 lists, that really boil it down to a point. How-tos. We always go to Google or Yahoo. We ask, how do I do something? Maybe not in those exact words. So how-tos, though, are also very helpful. If you have the ability to add audio or video up to your blog, that can be a very compelling reason, like maybe a how-to video of how to do something. That can be something that people will link to, definitely. Also, what I've discovered is, you know, people will put together lists of the best blogs in your industry. In fact, that's often a good starting point. Maybe not the first post you ever do, but one of the early posts would be, here's the top 10 most influential blogs in my niche. And then you just list them out there, and then what you do is you follow up and you tell all those bloggers, hey, I just put together this list. I don't know if you noticed this, but I just want to let you know that, you know, I've decided that you're one of the top 10 bloggers in our niche, and I just want to draw your attention to it. And very often what they'll do is they'll be so psyched that they'll link to your blog and say, look, so-and-so said that I'm one of the top small business bloggers or, you know, bed and breakfast bloggers in the world. And so that can be another way of getting people to link to you as well.
When I read about business blogging, one of the biggest perceived drawbacks seems to be negative comments. I know personally why that's not a problem, but tell everybody that's listening why negative comments are better on your blog than someone else's blog.
That's a good point. I've gone through this a few times. I was working with a company that builds yachts, and they had had problems in the past where somebody, they had, you know, if you have a certain number of customers or clients, you're going to have some unhappy customers. That's just the odds of the universe. And they had had one person who they just couldn't seem to make happy no matter what they did. He would go to all these discussion forums and badmouth them. And they were like, why would we ever want him coming to our blog to badmouth us? And I'm like, if you're going to have him badmouth you, better to have home court advantage than to have him out there somewhere else. And I've gone through the same thing. I spoke for the Maine Innkeepers Association on blogging, and they said the same thing. You know, I have thousands of customers a year. Somebody's going to find a bed bug, or somebody's going to stub their toe, and or somebody's going to think that one of our employees was grumpy to them. You know, and then they're going to come to our blog and complain. And because they had seen it all the time on TripAdvisor, you know, I got a bad review on TripAdvisor. And I said, well, wouldn't it be better to have it on your blog than TripAdvisor? Because first of all, on your blog, you find out about it right away. And if somebody were complaining about the fact that, you know, there wasn't a mint on the pillow last night, or that, you know, somebody was surly to them, I would immediately, as the blogger for that inn, jump on and say, you know, that's completely unacceptable. We're so sorry it happened. And write on the blog very publicly in the next comment, address that situation and make it better. And I remember reading, and I wish I had the details of this, but I remember reading about a survey they had done for people who stayed in luxury hotels. And people who stayed in luxury hotels, if they had a problem and the problem was solved by the management, they actually rated the hotel higher than people who had no problems at all. So people don't mind necessarily if they have a bad experience. It's what you do afterwards that helps them make up their mind whether it was a good or a bad experience. And the same is true with your blog, except that it's a million times more powerful, because if people find that post and they see the complaint and they see that you immediately address it, it can be a real benefit to you. Plus, you may have just turned an angry customer who is going to badmouth you into an evangelist for your company.
Yeah, I've noticed every time I've read one of those threads that the person that was doing the badmouthing, and two or three people would jump in, as soon as the company or the person took care of that problem, those people almost immediately became evangelists and jumped on the bandwagon and said, you know, you're great and you're not so bad after all. And the other people who were already let's say those people were the people that were on their side were ranking them an 8. They stepped up to a 9. So it,
right.
keeping control of it on your own blog is like, you know, it's a no-brainer.
I agree with you. And it's sometimes, I'm not saying that you, there's never a reason to delete a post. You know, I've had some people put up stuff that was just perhaps angry at a client of mine or really bitter or just added nothing to the conversation and basically just wanted to see their name up in light, so to speak. And those kind of comments, I don't really have an issue with deleting. But if somebody takes, if somebody has an intelligent comment or a complaint about something that I've said or done, I definitely leave those up. I love to engage people like that, and I've had those kind of conversations online with some people. And sometimes it's not like they come around to my way of thinking, but at least we have an intelligent discussion about these things. And sometimes, you know, somebody just, I remember it was a silly post, but I was posting about, I had been interviewed about video games for the local evening news program, and I had a clip of it on the show, and they're like, oh, I can't believe you didn't review this this game and that game, and you weren't doing it in high def, what were you talking about? And it just kind of really angry for something that I thought was kind of lightweight. And I said, well, those are all great points, of course, you know, and I explained that it wasn't my TV, it's the TV station's TV, and this is what was going on, and this is how it was done, and it's just a small local station. And the person's like, you know what, I think I may have overreacted. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I think so. But of course, I took the high road, and instead of having somebody angry and bitter, all of a sudden they were like, you know what, I think I see it from your side.
Yeah, that's a whole other 30-minute discussion, though, about teaching people how to take the high road. And after you write that book, send me the first copy. Because
I was going to say, you can have that conversation in 30 minutes. I've been working on it for 5.5 years with my oldest daughter. It hasn't gotten in yet. So.
I'm sure I've been working on it longer than that, and that's just on me personally. So
After
you finish that book, make sure and send it to me, and I'll help you write the foreword.
Sounds
and,
good.
Go from there. You know, you've given us a good 30, 35 minutes of great, useful content. Let's finish it up by talking about the blogging tools and resources that you recommend.
Sure. As far as blogging platforms go, there's a lot out there. The two that I like the best are TypePad, which is a good hosted solution, and if you really never want to go under the hood of the blog, that's probably the way to go. Great user interface, cost about $15 a month. They take care of the hosting, and it's a pretty smooth sailing with TypePad. The other one that I recommend is WordPress. If you do like to get a little bit under the hood, or if you've got somebody on your team who could do a little bit of customizing, you might get some more benefits out of WordPress because it is more flexible. I mentioned Technorati. I think that's a great place to go and do research. There's also a number of business blogger tools at Technorati, you know, things you can add to your blog. Two services that I recommend, you know, we mentioned the RSS feeds that are created automatically from the blogging platforms, but you can use FeedBurner or FeedBlitz. Those are two different programs. You can find them at FeedBurner.com or FeedBlitz.com, and those just kind of enhance your RSS feeds and give you some free traffic reports as well. They can also deliver your posts via email, and there's some bells and whistles in them as well. So those are two good services if you want to take things to the next level. There's a lot of different analytics tools, but I'm a big fan of Google Analytics. I think it works a little bit better for websites than it does for blogs, but I still think you get some really great reports. And if you're on TypePad, TypePad has some fun traffic reports, but they're not very deep. And so I would enhance that by getting a free Google Analytics account in either you or have somebody install Google Analytics on your blog. And then finally, so that you can manage reading a bunch of different blogs all at the same time, you need some sort of news reader. These days, I happen to be using my personalized Google page, my iGoogle page. You can set, I set up a number of different tabs for different categories, such as entrepreneur, small business, web marketing, search engine optimization, clients, whatever it is, and then I can just subscribe to all the different feeds right on that page. But bloglines.com is a free website that allows you to subscribe to multiple feeds. And for a while, I was using a standalone product called NetNewsWire, which is only for the Mac. But that was another really nice program for being able to subscribe to and read a lot of different blogs all from one place.
Well, doesn't get much better than that. And over these 35 to 40 minutes, it's easy to see why Flight New Media and Rich Brooks are the pride of Portland, Maine.
Oh, my head is swelling now, Mike.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, Rich. And as of right now, we're going to let you off the hot seat.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I hope people found this helpful.
I'm sure they did, and we appreciate you taking the time.